Tonight, I'm going to cover a couple of verses and a few things with you and a little lesson. And if you want to call it a title, it would be No Eggs Can Go to Heaven, Only Chickens. So let's listen up and see what the Lord has for us tonight in that. It's kind of a funny little title, but it explains a lot of things here. I'd like to read a couple of scriptures to start off. There's two scriptures I want us to get kind of the flavor, so it'll explain what I kind of want to get into. And in Romans 3, verses 23 to 25, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified in the Lord as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, or a in our place situation, in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed." Now, that's a lot of words there, and sometimes you go, what in the world does that mean? And what God is trying to tell us is that, listen, I know you're all handicapped. By virtue of what Adam did, you all have what's called a fallen nature. But it doesn't have to stay that way. God did not let His perfect plan be messed up by people. So even though it's a long, protracted period from the time of Adam to Jesus, and then from Jesus to us, and we go, what's the, you know, let's go. You said I come quickly. But when you look at that, and you see that the word quickly, or I come soon, depending on which way you're reading, it doesn't mean our time frame. It means unhindered. When God said, I am coming soon, I am coming quickly, it means I am coming unhindered. At my perfect time, I am going to return, and I will remove you. Now, you know, it would have been nice if God could have maybe sent Jesus like the day after Adam messed up, but there's a lot of lessons to be learned. God allowed a great time frame to go between the time of Adam and the time of Jesus to show that having the law or having a king or having the patriarchs or having anything doesn't forgive your sins. It doesn't. Your nature still is going to, when you wake up, you're still going to do the same stupid things. Now, you can go through some ceremonial things, the obedience to those ceremonial washings and the temple and all of those things that eventually came. It was the obedience to those things that was pleasing to God and held His wrath from you. But not one of those ablutions or cows or chickens or pigeons or sacrifices that they made, none of it forgave your sin. It just was during the time frame of God's choice of history that it held off God's wrath. But actually, in Jesus Christ, once He came at God's appointed time, and He actually gave up His life, it's very important that we understand that, because the life is in the blood. And He says, it's not just cutesy things you learn in Sunday school. No greater love has anyone than to give up his life for his friend. I mean, that is the essence. You've given up everything. You can give up money, you can give up houses, but when you give up your life, not take your life, when you give up your life. And that's what Jesus did. He is God who came to say, I am your rescue. And it has to be done this way for much deeper spiritual reasons than we can truly understand at this point. But it's just powerful when He was trying to explain to us, I understand that you're fallen. I don't hold it against you. I'm not that wrathful God up there that's been presented by people's mixed up ideas. I'm not ready to squash you like a bug. I look at you like a handicapped kid in a wheelchair. But come to me, but I don't want you to stay that way. I want to make you strong. I want to put braces on your legs. I want you to be able to walk in a way that you couldn't without me. So it's not a matter of law. It's a matter of God being allowed to enter into you and actually come into your inner being. And then you have to give Him permission to be your Lord. Everybody wants that wonderful Savior because nobody wants their butt in hell. But very few will allow Him to be Lord. Well, you can't have one without the other. Let His nature be what you practice coming out of you, and you crucify that dead one. That first thought is usually your worst thought. Because the first thought is, you say that again, I'm choking you. You know, we're very impatient. We have expectations of everybody else. We give ourselves 1,000 excuses and give no one one. We have such a warped viewpoint and opinion of God, of life, of love, of people, of our who we are and what our value is and where we are. And the adversary has been key to make sure that the world, which is everybody else, the flesh, which is you, and the devil, make sure that this all gets mumble-jumbled up in there. And that you never enter into freedom. When Jesus said, it's for freedom that I've set you free. It wasn't a freedom to do what you want. It wasn't that Adam nature having free reign, you know, wine, woman, and song. It wasn't that. It was to set you free, free from the bondage of the death and the ideas and the feelings. Your thinker is broken, your feeler is broken, your want is broken. I've come to set you free from that. But it's going to cost you your life. You've got to give up your stinking ways. And you can't even do that without me inside. I stand at the door and knock. Just let me in. Because see, he can't, and we've said this many times here, he can't force himself on you. That would be spiritual rape. You have to allow him to come in and then day by day get better and better at him being the nature you submit to. Because he says things that we can't do, like love those that have truly offended you. We do. We love people until they tick us off, but he loves them through their sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. It doesn't give an excuse, but it means it doesn't let it stand in the way of you loving them. He loved me before I ever loved him. I know I was saved. I could have been killed in Vietnam. I could have been killed in the stupid planes I flew in, 2,000 hours in a 141. I could have been killed driving home inebriated from McGuire Air Force Base Officers Club. And I wasn't. He knew that my heart would be filled with him. He knew that I had an open heart. He knew I had a willing spirit. I just was stubborn and full of my own foolishness. So whenever I read that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, I go, well, okay. Don't put a guilt trip on me, adversary. I know that, but I know God has made the difference. Not me. God has made the difference in me to make the changes that I could never do on my own. And in 1 Peter 3:18 it says, for Christ also died for sins once, for all. The just and the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. That's very important. Remember that comment, being alive in the spirit, because that's going to come into play here. I want to read a little something from you. This is a book that I have been kind of studying in lately, and it's The Book That Made Your World. But the title on the in-between lines, hi, my man, welcome. We're just praying for you tonight.
Hey, what's up?
And this book is How the Bible Created the Soul of Western Civilization. It's a little deep in its portions, but there was something here that was very profound. It's called The Parable of Two Eggs. And the author is Vishal Mangalwadi or something. I know I've mangled his name, but he was a man that was brought up in Hinduism and came to know the Lord, and his whole world has changed. And he's able to look from a different perspective than a Western culture. And he's trying to tell the Western culture how the Bible formed our culture. It wasn't us. It was truly the Lord coming away from paganism and bringing the truths of who he is and who Jesus is. And the author says, I used a parable with some international scholars in California. I held an egg in each hand, and I asked if they could tell any difference between the two. Now, I didn't bring any eggs tonight, so please forgive me. I forgot the eggs. But pretend I have two eggs in my hands here. The students responded that the eggs looked identical to them. They could well be from the same farm, even from the same hen. And then he goes on and he says, neither of these is boiled or rotten, I assured them. But if you incubate them, one of them will hatch, the other will not. Can you tell me which of these will change into a chicken? Now, he's just holding the egg. Both of them have these shells on them. Both are approximately the same size, same weight, same everything. From the outside, they look exactly the same, but one of them is going to hatch. No one of the students had a clue. The difference, I explained, is that the egg in my right hand is fertilized. The other is not. Both are living organisms, but the egg in my right hand has received life. Wow. Just because you're a human doesn't mean you got life. He goes on and says, right now, inside that egg, that life is transforming it from the inside. Soon it will cease being an egg. Its identity as an egg will die, but it will be reborn as something more glorious. It will become like its parents. What does it mean when we say an egg has been fertilized, that it has received new life through a sperm? One of the students instantly got the point. It has received certain information encoded in some of its chemicals. Ah, this egg, because it has been fertilized, is now going to be a chicken someday. Exactly, he said. That information inside established what this egg will become. That information determined its gender, color, and size. In fact, every cell and organ, as well as most of its traits. At its core, life is information. Biological information is encoded in DNA. Our minds, our soul's information is encapsulated in words. Those who receive God's word receive God's own eternal life. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, fertilized. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. A lot of people have information about God, but they don't have transformation because their egg is not fertilized. Once we receive and believe God's word, it begins transforming our souls into God's likeness. As illustrated by this egg's transformation, ultimately our biological lives receive God's imperishable seed that rebirths us into God's likeness. So the change that occurred in me was not me just controlling my behavior and not me obeying a bunch of rules. That fertilization by the entrance of Jesus Christ into me actually gave me a new life. It allowed me to be formed and shaped so that I started looking like Jesus and not like Linda. I started thinking like Jesus. I started wanting like Jesus. I started feeling like Jesus. And Jesus was not religious. Jesus was a wonderful common man who came as a carpenter and who went and sat with sinners, not with the highfalutin religious. He had a love in his heart for all, for those who loved him and for those who hated him, for those who were full of sweetness and for those that were full of bitter waters. He loved them with a love we cannot understand until you get that in you, and then it starts coming out. The Apostle Peter said, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God." The scriptures were given to educate us to receive life. They tell us to receive life. Take that life by receiving God's living word. And who is the living word? Jesus Christ, into our lives. And the Bible says Jesus came to his own, and his own people didn't receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And just to go back just a little smidge again, at the imminent risk of martyrdom, the apostles, now they were going to be martyred if they opened their mouth, the apostles proclaimed Jesus to be the creator and savior of the world, the one who gives us eternal life. The Apostle John described God's power to give us eternal life, meaning to fertilize our egg, in these words. And this is in 1 John 3:1-3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know him." They don't recognize the Jesus in you because they don't recognize him. The gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing, so stop jamming it down people's throats. Let it come out of your life. Let it come out of your words. Let it come out of your deeds. Let it come out of every single portion. Not your Adam nature with frosting on it. Spit it out of your mouth. That needs to be dead. Your own nature you're born with needs to be crucified. That's why Jesus says, you got to do what I did. He crucified his flesh as a word picture. Not cutting yourself like some people do in cold showers and hitting themselves on the back with stripes. No, it's so misunderstood. Crucify that Adam nature. Take every thought captive. If it doesn't measure how God would think and what he would want and where it would fit in, then deny it access to your heart. Deny it access to your behavior. You're not going to remain blank. If Jesus Christ's nature is in you, then it will rise up instead of you. You won't be some holy roller. People have put such religion in place of relationship. It's just a shame. Christians are some of the worst examples of what Jesus wants us to be. And it's used by the adversary to mock him. God never said there'd be some goody two-shoes. This is a rough and tumble world. We are living on a cursed planet in a cursed body. And even if you were so holy you walked on water, you're going to bump into those that haven't got there yet. And they're going to steal your van and rip off your house and leave your marriages and wreck your stuff. And your own body's going to get into stupid things and fight drugs and alcohol. All of that stuff can be taken care of. All of that stuff can be conquered. We are conquerors in Jesus Christ. That new life, that fertilized egg is different than that thing that was just an egg. Wow. But it doesn't happen overnight. Did you go from the day of your birth to today in a week? It took every single hour of every single day up to this point. And that's the same way it is with Jesus. And that old devil will torment everyone. Say, you're not getting anywhere. You did that again. You did that again. You lying dog. I am a babe in the Lord. I am going to have his success in my life. He is going to rule me. I am going to do exactly what he says. I'm going to overcome this and this and this in his strength. And in his right time. No excuse for sin now. Oh, well, I just haven't got to this part with God yet. Baloney. You let God choose what he's going to work on in your heart and life. The struggle is real, but the battle's not ours. It truly is the Lord. And he says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. The fertilized egg is going to be like that chicken. Because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Whoa. Just because you're human doesn't mean you're automatically going to heaven. There's some people out there saying, oh, God is a God of love, and he's going to forgive everybody, including Satan, and everyone's going to be in heaven forever. Wait a minute. That Adam nature of yours is ruling you. Whatever nature is ruling you is the one you're going to go to. And if you're born with the Adam nature and you do not have the inclusion of Jesus Christ inside of you, you will be away from God. Nothing unclean can be in his presence. Your cleanliness comes from Jesus, not you doing good works. They should come from the heart of the Lord. There should be generosity and kindness. There should be forgiveness. There should be love. There should be joy and peace and patience and all the things growing within us. Yes. But it's not you. It's not you training your broken nature. Your broken nature has to be shunned. It has to be rejected. It has to be stepped on and crucified, Jesus says. When it's out of the way, what you really do want is going to come out because it's the nature of God that's unhindered. Sin hinders it. But God is not that ugly, wrathful God, and we need to truly understand that. Mark, if you would make sure, this is just a little reference. If you want to see, we're going to cover this, those two scriptures that I gave. You can take those and use them or circular file them or whatever you want to do. Now, just because both those eggs look the same didn't mean that they would both turn into chickens. I think we understand that. Now, Mark and Shirley are farm kids. They grew up on the farm. I don't know, did you have some farm time here? Anyone else have some farm time on their growing up years? They went in and got the chickens and the eggs, and they understood all of that stuff. Some were fertilized, and some made it, and some didn't. And so, again, I just want to reiterate, only the eggs that have been fertilized, that had life inside of it, would be something totally different once hatched. So when you die, you actually leave the egg behind, and whatever was inside determines if you're alive or not. Whoa! That is absolutely awesome. So just because you're an egg doesn't automatically make you a chicken. That's why I title this, No Eggs Can Go to Heaven, Only Chickens. Only the fertilized eggs. Only the humans who have had life put inside of them. God said, I put a light into every one who's come into the earth. A light meaning you can see what he's trying to say. You can see. You can either put that light out, but that light isn't life. You have to invite that life inside. And then you're going to have a struggle. I never had a struggle with just the Adam nature. I said, I don't see anything wrong with this. I don't see anything wrong with that. And the worst of things we're getting in society, I'll go, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I'll do this. I can party. I can play around. I can do this. Every single thing was stained. It was low level. It was dirty, but it came under fun. It came under adventure. It came under excitement. I was so distracted with so many things. I couldn't see my dirt. But God didn't turn me away. He truly kept me safe until he knew that heart would open up to him. And then he fertilized this egg. I have life in me that I didn't have before. And the more I get the dirt away and let the life keep going, the better it is. And I always say to people, your best day with me is when I'm not me. When it's out, Linda's out of the way, my opinion, my ethnic background, my cultural background, what I've learned, what I've been exposed to, has not all been of God. I don't want that in the way, and neither do you. So being infused with God and asking Jesus into your heart will start that transformation. So you can see the egg, and I put that down on the list that you have, is the fruit of the flesh. That's all that's in the egg. That's all that's ever going to come out of the egg. If you don't have life, it can never have this stuff. Oh, you can have love, but it's only going to love until someone makes you angry. You can have patience, but it's only going to be till things don't go your way. You see what I'm saying? We have a semblance of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's broken. It's not the God level. It's the Adam junk. So just being a human means what you have is immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the list goes on and on. It'd be too long to even put it down here. The scriptures tell us of this. When you go, look in Galatians, and it'll show you the list of the fruit of the flesh. This is what just a plain, unfertilized egg does. Now, some people are a little bit heavier in certain of these categories than others, but it doesn't mean that everyone doesn't have all this stuff. Now, you have outbursts of anger. Some people have gone so far as to kill someone. Others just punched a wall. Others just yelled and said, I can't believe you idiots! You know, just, it still is anger. It still is far from life. It only brings death. And immorality, oh my gosh, no one even likes these words. The world doesn't even like these words. They call you a prude if this even comes out of your mouth. They are so far in death and darkness, just like I was, they can't hear this. They can't know it. But you who has life in there can certainly say, God, however you did it to me, however you got a hold of me, I'm asking. You don't have to go up and tell people, oh, that's nasty. Oh, your language is nasty and you shouldn't drink and whatever. No. They're not able. They're almost like in the anesthesia and the death of the Adam nature. They can't even hear you. And those that love the Lord and have life in them, we can hardly hear God for all the struggle. The adversary will keep the clamor going, so you'll be confused and even wonder if you're fertilized in your egg. What a lie. What? Can you fertilize that egg? Once it's fertilized, can you unfertilize it? No. It is destined to be a chicken. With Jesus Christ inside, you are destined to be his child with him forever, for eternity. But I don't want the junk of the unfertilized egg, the fruit of the flesh, to come out. And yet I can't stop those things. But the fruit of Jesus Christ inside of me, it did not come out in that way. So as I fought some of those things, and some of those things went off very easily. The drunkenness and the carousing, it went away. It just left. I became the boring member of the flight crew.
Hey, you're no fun anymore, Pugsley.
Well, I'd still go out to Madrid, and I'd still walk around with them. I just didn't stumble around with them anymore, you know? And the language stopped. The foulness and the coarseness stopped. I have to admit, I never did that. I never struggled with it. It was just gone. But there's other things. There's other things that the factions and the dissensions and the disputes, they tend to be a little stubborn, a little argumentative, a little impatient. You know, all these kinds of strife, jealousy, enmities, some of those kind of things. Some of the other stuff isn't, but the impurities, the sensualities, those things were very strong inside of me. And I had to really go back to the Lord, cleanse me, Lord. Help me to come out from underneath this bondage. And God did, little by little, over time. There's still some things that still eke out a little bit. You don't want to be around me when the dragon is alive, and it might come out again. But it's few and far between. And so the chicken that's been fertilized, this is what's inside the chicken. This is the DNA of the chicken now. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow. That's not the message our young people are getting today. That's why I continue to go into the high schools and speak to them about these issues and speak to some of the youth and work in the Air Force Auxiliary with the cadets, and that's our youth group with the people here. I'm going to go to my grave saying the way of life is in Jesus Christ, not church, not religion. It's relationship, and yet coming together. Like once I was cleansed on the inside. I was truly fertilized and made a different individual. But I walk on this planet and I pick up what I call road dirt. You all do. Well, every day I need to get into the scriptures because it's a washing by the water of the word. It reminds me, you just can't give your life to the Lord and leave it there. That's like being a baby and someone just leaving you on the floor. You need help. You need to be fed. You need to be bathed. You need to be clothed. You need to be taught. You need to be disciplined. You got to go to school. It's the same thing in the same this wonderful spiritual world of the Lord. The babes, we help one another. Well, I didn't understand this. And how come? I didn't know you had to do that. Do I really have to go to church? And I mean, so many things we don't understand. And that's what coming together is for. That's why you and your own personal journey to get some materials that are going to help pour grace upon you and explain in a method that you understand. Not something that matches up with what you want, but what God wants for you. So I just wanted to just give you that little bit of information tonight. No eggs can go to heaven, only chickens. You've got to be fertilized. And just as a lot of people going to church and sitting in church, they are not going to be going to heaven. I'm not making that decree. God makes that decree. Your church attendance and your good works, there are atheists out there who are building orphanages and feeding the poor. A good work should be coming out of one who has life inside of them from Jesus Christ. But it is not the condition. You do not meet, as many people teach, you do not meet this great God, and he stands there with a handful of good works and a handful of bad works and weighs them in some cosmic scale. And if you have more good works than bad works, you can come in. Your nature is the stinking problem. I do not want, it will not be heaven if people up there with murder in their heart, not resolved and out of the way and controlling them, are up there. And the jealousies are up there and the outbursts of anger up there. That is going to be heaven with God, which means nothing unclean can be in his presence. So hell truly is a punishment. It's a place of everything, all of those things, immorality, strife, jealousy, all of that will be there. Everyone with that ruling nature who never submitted before God, who never humbled themselves before the living God and admitted their wrongness and asked Jesus to forgive them and come into their lives, they will be in hell. So, in a way, it's not a place just developed for punishment. It's a place you have to go because you are unclean. And Jesus is screaming from the mountaintops and has been from the beginning. In the beginning, he told them, I'm sending a Messiah. There is going to be rescue. This isn't all there is. And he came, and those who loved God under whatever system they were in terms of the patriarchs or Moses or whatever, they were looking to God. They were seeking God. And when Jesus came on the earth, their hearts were on fire. They maybe didn't understand all of the things about him, but thought, whoa. Even the centurion said, this man was truly the Son of God. They didn't get that because someone told them. Something deep inside, that fertilization occurred. You cannot know Jesus unless you know Jesus. Wow. He's got to be inside, but he makes the changes, not us. So no eggs can go to heaven, only chickens. So don't Don't look. That precious alcoholic stuck under the overpass, or that drug addict unable to come out from underneath it, who really wants to. I'm not talking about the one who says, hey, this is the way it goes. I don't care about God. He's not there. I'm talking about the ones who struggle. The ones that mankind walks by and says, you, the Christians walk by, so-called Christians. Oh, you have a foul mouth. You are in your drugs and your alcohol. You're under the overpass. You're no good. They are calling out to that living God. If they died in that moment, just like the thief on the cross. He never went to confession or church or Bible study or Sunday school. And what did Jesus say to him?
Today
you're going to be with me in paradise. Wow. He never got baptized. He never read the Bible once. That doesn't mean we're free from that. We were after Jesus died. But that talk about the biggest word picture God could give. As he is paying for our sins with his life, he says to the one who was just committed fraud. These guys were thieves. They were murderers. And the other guy was scoffing, Jesus. Hey, look at you. You're here. What a mess you are. What kind of God are you? Whatever. Yet the one humbled himself and said, you know, you are the Son of God. You don't belong here. I'm the one that sinned. You didn't. See, you don't have to say a specific thing. God will read your lips. He'll read in between your lines. By him saying that, in that thief's words, he was saying, you are Jesus. You are the Christ. I believe in you. That day, he was with him in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Wow. Why could he be in the kingdom? Because he did great works. He sinned right up to the time the nails went into his pants. That thief sinned right up to that time. He didn't have good works in the cosmic scale. He was able to be with Jesus Christ because he was made clean through coming to Jesus. Whoa. Now that certainly is much different than most of the things that we're going to hear. And when you're cleansed by him, your struggle will just begin, because that old devil does not want to lose you. Anything you had problems with before, he's going to try and bring your way. Or he might wait a year or two. He's hiding in them bushes, son. He's Sniper City. You think everything's all good. I got this beat. I got that beat. I got this problem beat. Everything's going on. Getting along with the wife or the husband. Kids are all straightened out. I'm off drugs and alcohol. A few years will go by. Little by little, he's gonna try and get you snared in that again. Because pride will build up. Ah, look how good I'm doing. Look what happened. Once that pride is there, you are in the devil's territory. You are there with the dirt and the filth and the garbage that started all this mess. Don't do it. That's why we need to be reminded at church. That's why you got to get a Bible and you got to be doing some reading. Read one chapter every day. Start in the New Testament if you're new to all this. And just humble yourself before God. You can read a whole chapter and go, I don't even know what that meant. It's all right. Read the next one. Tomorrow you might get an input. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. When I first came to know the Lord, I did not know. I never read the Bible. I was 30 years old. I never read the Bible. I didn't grow up in a home that they had religion, but they didn't have anything to do with the scriptures. So I didn't know you could start anywhere. It was like a novel or something. I just started reading from the first page. And then you start getting in and you get all these names. I'm like, gosh, I can't even pronounce these names. But it was doing something to me. Because my heart was open to Jesus. I said, wow, I have no idea what this means. But I got a gentleness is coming in. There's a peace coming in here. I have no idea. Then I'd come to part and I go, whoa, that is truly awesome. Yes, God, I want that. Oh, yes, God. I'm not doing that yet, but I want that. I want that. And then I saw some of the people that love God the most failed him the worst. And he forgave them. Not because they tried to scam it, like, you know, oh, well, like some people say, oh, hurry up and get saved so you can go out and sin because he forgives everything. If you think like that, you do not have his nature. You ain't, that egg ain't been fertilized. You may fall in this very rocky journey after you're fertilized, but that egg isn't going to break because God's going to take you home. What a God we serve. It's all God. Love him and let him love you and love through you. Your life will change. Some lives don't change a whole lot. Some lives they don't get the education that they need. to get a better job. Some lives, they don't change where they live. Some people are in a wheelchair and they die in that wheelchair. So don't think God's going to, you know, make you the CEO of the company, and if you were paralyzed, you're going to walk. I have no clue. But I do know that God is good. And I do know that He's absolutely perfectly just. And that goodness and that justice work together. We have no ability to do that. Our justice system is so unjust. You got more money, you walk. How stupid. Our system is not the perfection of God. So He can love us, but He can't just let us do whatever we want, because then there's no justice. He had to give us a free will, because then He couldn't hold us accountable unless we did. He can't. And some people actually believe that God says, okay, no, these people are going to go to heaven, and these people, no matter what you do, are going to go to hell. That's not perfect justice either. That's how man thinks. You come to Jesus and let Him do a work. Even if that little fertilization has been dormant for a while, you just ask God, revive me, oh God. Read Psalm 119 about 50 times in it. The call from the psalmist is, revive me, oh God. Revive me, oh God. Revive me, oh God. Your life is still in there. That you're still going to be a chicken. But I'm telling you, I want to have so much of God. I don't want to come out a chick. I want to come out a big chicken. You know what they have those farm on the 4-H, you know, who's got that? I want to be a big chicken. Mm-hmm. Not a little chick. I want everything. I want God to water me and feed me and whatever. To be noticed, to be the big chicken in the yard? No. But by being a big chicken, you can help more people. More stuff can be done. It's wonderful. But whether you're a little chick or whether you're a big chicken, makes no difference to God. Come on in. But in heaven, you're going to do the job of a big chicken or a little chick. And you're going to be totally happy doing whatever, because you're going to be perfected just like He is. God bless you.